It's time to brighten your Disney day with another episode of the Castle to Castle podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Castle to Castle podcast, where we're here to brighten your Disney day. You're on with Emily.
And Ron.
And Kat.
Yay,
Kat's in. Unfortunately, Jen is swamped, so Kat is stepping in to fill the shoes.
Today is our second episode that we are recording live.
I'm really liking the live thing.
I like the live thing, too. I thought it was a nice touch to get to interact with you guys last week.
Yeah, we get a few people. We can wave and say hi and get some comments.
And this time, I am on the camera and not running the camera. Today, running the cameras is Kat.
Woo.
So, yay.
Hockey Nick says COD would get more views.
Well, Hockey Nick needs to realize this is a Disney podcast.
That's funny. He wants us to play Call of Duty.
Not Call of Duty. But thanks for the suggestion. We always appreciate the comments.
Hi.
And we better see some likes. You just got a comment on air. We better see some likes on here. So start liking this.
Call of Disney. I like it. Call of Disney.
Call COD. Of Disney.
All I need Mickey with like an AR-15, like, hi.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
Leave the mouse alone.
Wow, that took a turn. No, okay.
Leave the mouse alone. He's family friendly and safe. I'm like that.
Well, on that note, we are going to kick off our news segment for the day here. And we got two kind of big pieces for you. One really, really big piece of news, and then one kind of a little bit smaller. So I'm going to start off with the smaller one first. And that is Pixar Fest at Disneyland.
Yay.
Nick says copyright violations galore there.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's okay.
Anyways.
I know a good lawyer. Hopefully he's watching the podcast.
Well, so if we get into, jump back to Pixar Fest before we get ourselves sued.
Jumping back to Pixar Fest. Couple of new things that they announced this year, and they're really kind of rolling stuff out now that it's getting ready to get started here. First one being they've added some new floats this year, including a Luca one, which is really cute, and
I'm
a Soul one.
I'm so excited for that.
And it's called Better Together, a Pixar Palace Celebration.
Oh.
I know. It's super cute.
So cute.
They are doing the castle show again this year, a Pixar Nighttime Spectacular. So that one's exciting. The other one, too, that I kind of find interesting is the Club Pixar at Hollywood Backlot. They're going to be doing live music. They're going to be doing exclusive food. They're going to have backdrops to take pictures with. And they keep hinting at meeting characters. So, excuse me, I'm thinking they're going to roll out some, like, exclusive old school Pixar characters.
I would love to see that.
It'd be kind of cool.
What if they bring Disneyland Paris Together show to California?
That would be good.
Oh, the possibilities.
The Pixar show?
Yeah, the Pixar show where it was called Together.
Honestly,
right. A Pixar show.
California is the only place that could do that because they have the Hyperion. No other park could hold that.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, never mind. I was like, Hyperion.
It'd be interesting, but I've said this before. I am not happy when Disney does cookie cutter, when they pick up from one park and drop the exact same thing in another park. I hate it when they do that. And they're doing it now with Disneyland Paris. And yes, it's going to be cool. And yes, I'm going to be excited. But at the end of the day, I hate it when they do the cookie cutter stuff. Just like now that they're cookie cutting Avatar into California. Like, I don't like it when they do it.
Avatar, do you mean Arendelle?
No, I mean Avatar.
I'm sorry, what?
California's getting an Avatar. They're getting a Pandora. A full-blown Pandora. What was an Avatar experience with the air quotes is now going to be Pandora. It's part of that new Anaheim expansion project.
That's right. Didn't you say they're making you told me before off air that they're making a hotel for like, mm-hmm. Pandora?
Well, that hasn't been confirmed yet.
I was just going to say, they're not making a hotel yet.
The hotel has not been confirmed yet.
It's speculated because of the area that they bought for this expansion potentially could have a hotel on it. But I don't think Pandora is going to be the whole expansion.
It's only going to be a piece of it. But the theory is they're going to build another hotel in that corner. Because that right now, Disneyland only has three hotels. It's the smallest hotel piece of the Disney parks.
Is it going to be D23 like news drop, you think?
They'll probably tease something at D20. I mean, the Anaheim expansion's already been announced. It was approved by the city council in Anaheim last week. So it's moving forward. They are doing it. Iger did this whole thing about, originally it was called the Avatar experience with air quotes. Now it's going to be Pandora. So we're going to see almost the same thing happen that's in Animal Kingdom in Florida. So they'll probably tease something at D23, but
will it be bigger in California?
A lot of it's already been announced.
I don't know.
They haven't.
I don't know.
Published the plans yet? Well, just
what the
that
heck? Disney, give me some info. I need.
I'm not sure, but if I were to make a guess, I think there's going to be a third ride because I think they're going to do something separate with the second movie.
Well, I think Rivers because of Navi's not going to get cookie cut. I think they're going to do something different there.
I don't know if they replace one or if they just add a third one. I think they're going to do something with the second movie because of the success they've just made off of it and because it's still new. I could totally see them doing something with that.
I do believe they're going to use Pandora Part 2, like the second Avatar movie, in it. Don't get me wrong, but I think if they're really going to do it, they realize where they screwed up with Rivers and Navi. Bless you.
Sorry.
And they're going to move. They're going to move Navi over. But the best part about Pixar Fest, as we jump back into the news with Pixar Fest, they have announced a new popcorn bucket for Pixar Fest, and it is the Pizza Planet truck. It is awesome. Now, the one key difference here is, remember, in California, they don't do popcorn refills like they do in Florida. So the popcorn bucket is actually a popcorn holder. It's got a square cut in the top where you can fit one of those classic red and white popcorn boxes to hold your popcorn. So it doesn't hold the popcorn itself. It just holds the box that holds the popcorn. Still super freaking cute. Got the little Pizza Planet rocket on top.
When are we going to get churro refills? Like a punch card? Like buy five, get one free?
Loyalty cards for Disney. Buying churros.
Loyalty cards for all of it. Snack punch card. Got it.
You know, one thing I do think...
Yeah, it's called the dining plan.
That was good. One thing I do think that's cool about the Pizza Planet truck is that because the popcorn doesn't go directly in it, you're not going to get all the grease and the salt and stuff in the bottom of it. You don't have to like wash it. I mean, you could, but
no, it's gonna be easier to maintain. 100%.
I think it'll be cleaner,
to be honest. The last two popcorn buckets I bought, both were Figments. We didn't even put popcorn.
I was gonna
in
say
them.
Who truly puts popcorn in their popcorn bucket?
Well, actually,
like, unless it's the cute balloon like head thing. The
well, I was gonna say, because I like the popcorn buckets that are not the character buckets, like the general like white bucket with some type of print on the outside of it. I have a Disney 100 one that's like purple with all the characters in their silver, in their platinum outfits. And then we have another one that's a Christmas themed one that when we were there at Christmas. So, you know, we just have some basic ones that we'll put the popcorn in. But I feel like the character ones,
people don't use them.
Yeah, it's so hard to get your hand in there a lot of times.
The Imagination Station one, you can't even get your... Yeah. Like, oh, you can't even get it open. Like,
yeah,
the
no, it's
hatch
terrible.
Takes two hands.
Honestly, you're just buying a novelty. I love it. I will buy them.
They're adorable.
It's there. But it's the same thing with the sippers. Like, we were just there for Flower and Garden Festival. Yeah. Check out our video on YouTube if you haven't. Great video. Goes over the whole thing, including our new Orange Bird sipper that we bought. But
our
same
new Orange Bird sipper?
But see, the same thing
Cast
is...
new Orange Bird sipper.
You get the head, which is a sipper, and then the body, which is a sipper, and then there's just this narrow passageway in between where the bird's neck is.
I mean, his body's tiny.
It's like trying to get... You know, you can stick a straw down, but even then it's very limited. Trying to get into that second piece of the sipper was very hard to clean out. We basically just had to kind of drown the whole cup in water and then keep dumping it out and filling it up. Like, you can't get your hand down to wipe out anything like that. We let him sit overnight upside down to let the water kind of naturally dribble out of it. It's just a pain in the butt. Like,
and
they're cute.
A one and done drink.
Yeah, they're cute, but a lot of times those popcorn buckets and sippers, they just...
They're just collectibles.
They are collectible. They are not user-friendly.
See, Kat's got it down to a science. She waits till RJ's recording, and then she goes and buys stuff while he's not paying attention.
And case with a new Orange Bird sipper that we bought.
Yeah, they just came home from that trip with the sipper, the spirit jersey, the bag, the pins, everything.
And the only thing I actually bought was the pins.
I just need a stuffy now. Thanks, Chop Disney. I will be buying that later.
Yeah, the little one that like reverses. Yeah. That is so cute. Although I did get a pin out of the
trip.
See,
this
so
is
I'm
why
happy.
You need to support our podcast, because I need to pay for the exorbitant amount of things that we're buying at Disney on all these trips. So please watch our videos, subscribe to our channels. I need the help.
Support my addiction.
My wife's addiction. Anyways, jumping over
the biggest piece of news. Well, the biggest piece of news we have today is the video of the press release of Epic Universe. It is
Epic Universe.
Is that... It's okay.
I don't know. I was just making
RJ's giving it a theme song.
Epic Universe. We need like Jack Black come in and be like, Epic Universe.
You would totally do that.
I could totally see that.
No, because if he's here, I'm going to need peaches.
Well,
Peaches.
They are putting Nintendo in the park, so.
That is true.
Peaches lines
we
up anyway.
We could get a stage show of Peaches.
Just runs all day.
You know, there was a big rumor that he was going to perform that at the Oscars, and I'm very mad that he didn't.
Yeah, instead we got Ken.
I'm okay with that, because that was amazing.
I mean, Ken was, it was cute, but I'm.
It was so cute.
Anyways,
sorry. What was I saying?
Epic Universe is launching at Universal Studios.
Sorry, okay.
Brand new theme park.
Third park on the property with Universal Orlando and Island of Paradise. So,
Island of Adventures.
I was going to say, what are the
All right, I'm taking over this news piece here. Emily's losing her mind.
Oh, God.
Universal Studios Orlando has announced a new park called Epic Universe. It's going to be the third park in the expansion for Universal Orlando. There's a whole bunch of new lands inside the park. There's going to be all kinds of new content, new characters, new I mean, it's insane.
We're really going to break it down in our discussion post today, so we can't get too into it yet.
Yeah, but that's going
to stick around. But it is huge, and I have so much to say about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and it's a really good spin too. And that's what the discussion is, kind of teeing off: is Disney falling behind in Florida? Is their landmark property losing the battle in the theme park war? So stick around and stay tuned for that today. But first, we have our Disney game coming up. So give us a few seconds and we'll be right back with today's Disney game. Welcome back, everybody. And today we are playing a Disney game. And actually, I was having a little bit of fun today. We are playing Disney Family Feud Edition.
What's the Family Feud theme song?
I don't know. I mean,
I can't think of it. I feel like...
I don't know. Anyway, so... Yeah, that's not the right one. Anyways, so Family Feud. So here's how this is going to work. Emily versus Kat. What I'm going to do is we are going to ask a question here, and we are going to wait for one of them to answer the question. They get three strikes. If they can name all of the answers on the page, they score all the points. If they get their three strikes, the other team has a chance to steal. Each player is going to be given three cards. So there's a total of six, and then we have a tiebreaker if we need it. All right?
Okay. It's bothering me that I can't think of the theme song, but yes.
All right. If a player gets all three strikes and the other team goes and strikes out, the first team does receive the points from that card. So I'm going to track down everybody's points and then we're going to run it at the end. So since Kat is the guest of the day, we are going to give Kat the first card.
She figured it out.
I know. I got it. She figured it out.
I had to get there.
Okay. So on that note, Kat, your question. Name a Disney character you'd like to see on a TV commercial. The top seven answers are on the board. 100 people were surveyed.
Mickey
Mouse is the number one answer. Shocker.
Ooh. Number two, Cinderella.
Cinderella is not on that
list.
What
year was this made?
I don't know.
Well, I want to know if we should invite Encanto characters.
No.
Minnie Mouse.
Okay. Minnie Mouse. We are two down.
Pluto.
And Kat struck out after one answer. Emily for the steal.
Goofy.
Goofy is on the list at number five.
Woo!
And that is a total of 21 points to Emily. So Emily stole Kat's card with 21 points. Okay. Emily, your first card. Oh, you know what? I take that back. I should read off here. The top seven answers. It was Mickey Mouse. Then it was Donald Duck. Then it was Mulan. Then it was Winnie the Pooh. Then Goofy. Then Olaf. Then Dopey.
All right.
Those were your seven answers. Emily. Here is your question. If a Disney princess character could help you with your homework, who would you choose to help you? Top five answers on the board.
Belle.
Belle is number three. 16 points.
Because she's bookie.
I know, but number three?
Number three.
Oh, yeah. Who's better than her? I don't know. The magic mirror. No.
5 seconds on the board.
Not a princess.
Mickey.
Mickey. No.
Mickey's not a princess.
When in doubt.
Yeah, that Mickey's not a princess. I did say Disney princess.
Oh. Well, I guess Snow White.
Snow White, number one answer. 23 what? Points.
She's so dumb.
She takes an apple from a stranger.
That doesn't make any sense. I just thought it said the first princess that I
thought
of.
You still got 2, 4, and 5.
Cinderella.
Cinderella, number four answer, 12 points. Now you have 2 and 5 left on the board.
Aurora.
One more guess.
Mulan.
Mulan, number two answer, 18 points.
So I have one left.
You have one left, the number five answer, but you only have one strike left.
Crap.
10 seconds on the board.
Pocahontas.
And I'm so sorry, she's Emily. Smart, you have struck so out. Shot. Now, Kat, you have one chance to steal, and you need the fifth popular answer to the question. If a Disney princess character could help you with your homework, who would you choose?
Jasmine
is the number five answer.
Oh, no.
Which means Kat has stolen the points. Congratulations,
Kat. I can't believe Snow White was number one. She's so stupid.
Wow, that card was worth 73 points.
I gave her all of the answers.
And this is the fun of Family Feud because, you know, it's based
so
on...
That's so frustrating.
It's based on survey. It's not based on, like... necessarily practical.
How many rounds are we doing?
We're doing 3 cards apiece. So that was the first round.
Okay.
So after the first round, Kat is winning 73-21.
What?
All right. Catherine, your card. What would be the most annoying thing about having hair as long as Rapunzel's? Top 7 answers on the board.
What are you? What? I get the question, but I'm just like, how would they answer that? Like, artwork, homework, like.
What would be the most annoying thing about having hair as long as Rapunzel? I don't think it. Artwork would be.
Brushing it.
Brushing it, number two answer. 22 points.
How many answers are there? 5?
7 total.
Holy mackerel.
You got 6 more on the board.
Washing it.
Washing it was the number one answer. 31 points.
Drying it.
Nope. First X. 2 more strikes on the board.
Styling it.
I'm sorry. One more answer.
Wrong game.
I know. 5 seconds. 4.
Cutting it. I don't know.
No. And that's 3 X's. Emily, for the steal.
I'm going to go with the title of the movie, Tangles or Knots.
I'm so happy you said it like that because number 3 answer is Knots. Tangled is not on it, but Knots is. Woo! So therefore, you scored number 3, and that is 18
points. I feel like if I said Tangled,
points.
Though, you would have given me Knots.
Actually, I would not have.
What? They're the same thing.
I'm so sorry, but that wasn't on the board. So Emily steals Kat's card for 71 points. The answers were washing it, brushing it, knots, split ends, stepping or sitting on it, and hair gets caught in things.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine, like, having to, like, put all in front of you if you go to the bathroom or something. It's like, all be there.
So sorry, Kat. 71 points. That was a big card, too.
That was a big card.
That was a big card. Now it's 92-73. So, Emily, your next card.
Apparently, you should just be, like, 5 if you're playing this game because you're thinking like that. I've decided.
All right, let's see what's a good card, because some of these really do suck.
Well, people are stupid, because they said Snow White would help with homework, so she'd be like, you don't need homework in the magical land.
Here, I'll have my little friends help you. Little birdie, like, tweets through the answer.
Well, see, like, some of these, like, this question, if Mickey Mouse had a favorite color, what would it be?
Just
like,
name
you're
colors.
Just naming colors. That's not, like...
That's a dumb one.
Okay, this one could be fun. This one could be interesting, since we're making fun of Mulan anyways. Name the first word that you think of to describe Mulan.
Bravery.
Top 5 answers on the board.
Bravery.
Brave is the number one answer. 9 points.
Honor.
Honor is not on the board.
What? You bring honor to us all. It's in the movie.
Well, apparently it's not in the survey.
Okay. Strong.
Strong is the number four answer. 4 points. Smart. 10 seconds.
Kind.
And Emily strikes out. Cat, for the steal, name the first word that you think of to describe Mulan.
Courageous.
Courageous is on the list at number three.
That's the same thing as bravery.
So, brave, pretty, courageous, strong, and cool.
Masculine?
I hate these people.
So, that means Cat stole a whopping 17 points.
I don't know why this thing is, like, moving so much.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. So let's. I'm not touching. Oh, because it's kind of like. Hang on. Let's like.
Well, that wouldn't make this. It's
please
this
hold.
That's moving.
Yeah, but that's loose, and that's what's rattling.
We're having microphone issues.
All right, try that now. It's a little better because it's not as loose. Okay. All right. So now, Kat, for your third and final card, and actually, right now, folks, we are pretty close in score. It is 92 right now to 90. Emily is winning by 2 points. We are desperately, dangerously close. I'm going to get another card here. I don't like that card. We're going to dip into the box for more cards. Okay, more cards.
I think our friend Nick left alive.
Oh, no. Well, it still says there's three on here.
Oh, mine only says two.
Mine says two.
Oh, I guess mine doesn't update. Okay, Nick left alive. Thanks. That's cool.
Thanks for playing.
Okay. So, here we go. Name a Disney or Disney Pixar character that would enjoy doing charity work with underprivileged children.
This is Kat.
This is Kat.
Snow White. Okay, she doesn't take care of 7 years for nothing. Okay.
Underprivileged children, those are adults.
They're dwarves.
They're adults.
Hey, that's against the Americans with Disabilities Act.
I apologize. Didn't mean to offend. Rapunzel. I'm going to find who took the circuit. have some words. Belle.
Hey, number five answer for 5 points.
Hooray.
You got one more strike to go.
Rapunzel.
You said Rapunzel.
Oh. Ariel.
Ariel is not on the list, but I do apologize because Snow White was on the list. I missed that one.
You had one job.
I overread that one.
Hey,
so.
Hey, Nicki Max sent Heart Me and
hey.
The Rainbow. So we are back up to three.
Hey, thank you, Nicki Mack.
Welcome.
We appreciate you.
Arty's right. Doing a terrible job.
So we're adding 13 points to your score, and you have 1x left. Ariel was off, but Snow White was, so you still have 1x remaining.
Cinderella,
number four on the list. 9 Win! Points. See, you're on a roll now.
Pocahontas.
So what has she said so far?
So she has said Ariel, Rapunzel, Snow White, Cinderella, Belle, and Pocahontas.
No, like which ones are on the board?
I got Snow White, Cinderella, and Belle.
Okay.
The number one, number two, the number six, and the number seven answers are still on.
That's me?
That's you. One to steal. 10 seconds.
Jasmine.
I'm so sorry. So, Catherine wins the round. She gets 14 and 27 points for that one.
Who was left?
The answers were Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse.
I thought it was princesses.
No, it's a Disney or Disney Pixar character.
Didn't even think about it.
Bummer.
Snow White, Cinderella, Belle, Goofy, and Woody.
Oh, I can
Woody
see Woody
was the Pixar character on that one.
That's a bummer. I thought it was princesses like the last one.
I know, I did too.
Well, if you'd listen to the question.
Shut up.
You wouldn't have had that problem now, would you? All right. So, Emily.
Laundry.
Here's the third and final card for you today. Now remember, right now, you are losing by 25 points. So you need to score 25 or more to keep this game alive.
Okay.
Name an adjective you'd use to describe the Evil Queen's magic mirror.
Evil.
Evil, number three answer for 6 points.
Mean. Smart.
Five seconds on the board.
Rude.
I'm so sorry. Cat for the steal. Name an adjective you'd use to describe the Evil Queen's magic mirror.
Brave.
So Emily does score the points, but only scored 6 points, and unfortunately has lost the game by 19 points. Answers? The number one answer, cool. Number two, scary. Number three, evil slash bad. Number four, magical. Number five, big. And number six, reflective.
Seriously.
That was so dumb. That was a really dumb card.
Well, I'm so sorry, but that was what was chosen. And
wait, doesn't she get a chance to play so I can steal?
No, that's three cards. Everybody had three cards. So that is over. And unfortunately, you have lost, Miss Emily. Kat, congratulations. You are today's winner with 19 points up. Good job.
That means Jen has to make the game when she's back.
That does. That means Jen is now doing the game because Kat is...
We'll have to call her and be like, hey, guess what? Hey. You got homework.
Yikes. So the total score, Emily, 98 points. Kat, 117 points.
Woot, woot. Woot, ding, dang.
Woot. So thanks for sticking in us.
I blame Snow White.
I blame whoever made this Family Feud game. This is
dumb.
This is terrible, but it actually makes it fun in its own way because you can't think logically about this, like, as the Disney goer that you are. You just kind of have to guess. Yeah, but, like, you got to dumb it down and think simple. And I think that actually makes it challenging for, like, us because we think so logically with Disney.
That's fair.
That it kind of is the reverse, like, nowhere near logical on this. But anyway, stick with us here, guys. We're going to take a quick break after the game and get on with today's Disney discussion topic, which actually today, I should say, the universal discussion topic. So Woo! Stick with us.
Welcome back, everybody, to the discussion topic. We are talking about Epic Universe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Woohoo! I have so many exciting things to say about this. So I'll just give you the information first, and then we'll break down ideals and opinions.
All right.
So the parks, the lands inside of the park that we know so far, you'll open with Celestial Park, which is a zodiac and a godlike themed area. It's going to have a dueling launch coaster that, to me, kind of sounds like a better coaster, but it kind of brings back the vibes from Dueling Dragons.
Okay.
Because it's a dual coaster, and it's I can't remember what it's called, but it's something about a shooting star, which is pretty cool. The next land we're getting is the Dark Universe Park. We are getting a universe dedicated to Universal's classic monsters. We know there's going to be an attraction based off Frankenstein, which is pretty cool. It's going to be in like this gothic castle, but we're going to see a very dark Dracula, werewolf, Frankenstein type land, which is going to be pretty cool. And I think it opens some doors for some Halloween stuff.
Well, and the other interesting there one is they changed the narrative a little bit. It's based on the experiments of Dr. Victoria Frankenstein, not Victor Frankenstein. So they made the Dr. Frankenstein a girl.
Very cool.
Not a bad thing. Just interesting that they made that change.
That's confusing to a lot of people, too, if there's a differentiate between the Frankensteins.
All right. Sure.
Anyways, the next park they told us about is Harry Potter Land 3 or the Ministry of Magic. We are getting the inside of the Ministry of Magic. They will not tell us a lot about it. As they said, and I quote in the press release, we can't tell you what this ride is going to be because it has to be a surprise. So I don't know. We know it's indoors. It's going to be in the Ministry of Magic set from the Harry Potter movies, which sounds pretty cool.
You're going to get flushed down a toilet.
That's what I'm thinking.
Actually, I think it's going to be flu powder.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I think, because if you remember, if you go back to the fifth movie of Harry Potter with the Order of Phoenix, when they have that battle at the end, you see Bellatrix Strange escapes in that big foyer with all those flu powder chimneys right there. I think that would be a...
All the cars are going to face in a circle, and in the middle of the circle is going to be Sirius Black getting killed.
Well, and it's interesting because online with that one, the description they give off the website is from 1920s Paris to the 1990s British Ministry.
So outside of the Ministry of Magic is going to be the Fantastic Beasts, 1920s
Paris.
And then the ride is going to be the part that's the actual Ministry of Magic.
Right, the 1990s that you're used to from the Harry Potter movies.
However, I think that's what they're leading by calling it Harry Potter Ministry of Magic, even though that's the smaller part of it, just because of the notoriety of it.
Well, and you already have two other Harry Potter lands.
Right. So we don't need a Fantastic Beasts land.
Because honestly, Fantastic Beasts was a good movie. Don't get me wrong. But it definitely did not carry the weight that Harry Potter did.
No, not at all.
Hence why they only made three instead of making eight. So, yeah, you're going to play into it a little bit, but I honestly don't think...
Three? There's only two.
What do you mean two?
There's two Fantastic Beasts.
There's three. Secrets of Dumbledore is the third one.
Oh, I forgot about the Dumbledore one.
Yeah, that's the new one. No, yeah. Harry Potter has eight because they did a Deathly Hallows Part 1 and a Deathly Hallows Part 2. There's eight Harry Potters, not seven. Seven books, eight movies. Because they split the last book. Yep, they pulled a Hunger Games and split the last one into two.
That was the first book series I ever read was Harry Potter. So
you don't challenge me on my Harry Potterness. Cat
tried and failed.
And so did Emily. You both did.
I forgot about the Fantastic Beasts. I wasn't really a fan of those.
Look at me go.
Sorry. The next land we have is Super Nintendo World. This is basically, as RJ likes to call it, a cookie cutter park of the California one. It is a cookie cutter park. Yes, but with some more things.
A little bit bigger.
It's going to be a little bit bigger, and there's going to be two more attractions that are not in the California version.
But more importantly, we're getting a Mario Kart ride.
I'm so excited for the Bowser Castle ride. Oh my gosh. You will be driving a Mario Kart go-kart in this ride that's half physical sets, half 4D experiences, screens. It's just going to be so cool.
It's going to be great.
There's also a children's ride that is, you sit in little Yoshis, which is adorable. And then there's going to be a, quote, family-friendly coaster that to me kind of looks like 70 Mine Train.
Oh, see, I was thinking more Slinky Dog.
Or Slinky Dog. Both work. It's a smaller coaster. And it's Donkey Kong themed. Now, what's interesting about this coaster is the actual track that the cart is attached to is below a fictional track.
Oh, this is the one that jumps the track, right?
Yes. So there will be the track on the bottom, and then there will be a decoration track, like a fake track. And then there will be the cart on the top. So when there's holes in the track, and it looks like you'll be like jumping the track, even though you'll be actually attached. It looks very cool, and I'm not doing a great job of explaining it. It's hard to say. You have to kind of see
it. You can Google it, but it's going to be
very cool.
It's definitely going to be cool.
And then I think the last one, unless I'm missing any, is the How to Train Your Dragon area.
The Isle of Berk.
Yes. So you will be getting a ride experience of riding on a dragon, which to me sounds like they're going to do like a Flight of Passage type of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
You get to ride a dragon. And then I think there's some kind of coaster going in there too, but I'm not 100% sure on like the details of that one. But from the pictures I saw of construction, it looked like they were building some kind of coaster. But you will get to experience that magical land from the movies. They have those giant mountains with the houses on top of the mountains and the big dragon's nests. And you'll get to see Toothless and all of his friends. And I think it's going to be very, very cool. So I think that's all the lands.
Yeah, that's everything.
And it just generally is fan. What?
I had a question for you, but it's in the other park, which is why I'm getting confused. And
what?
I'm thinking about how, like, you watch all the other, like, some of the other bloggers and how they're building a Shrek, like a Shrek's.
The DreamWorks area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not in Epic Universe.
No, this is going to be. About that yeah, after. No, this yeah. is. This one, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think DreamWorks opens this summer, right? Either this summer or this fall.
I'm not 100% sure.
They got the signage in. Shrek's house is built now. I mean, it's almost done from what it looks like. I don't remember. But the reason we wanted to make this the discussion topic today, and thank you, Emily, for kind of giving us a whole brief rundown on it. But the discussion to tie it into Disney for the moment is Disney falling behind in the theme park battle? Specifically, it's your landmark park. Florida is your coup de grace. There's no other park as big. No other park as dynamic. Not as many hotels. Nothing compares to Florida.
Oh, I'm so sorry to cut you off. Last thing about Epic Universe is it's also coming with two new hotels and a new nighttime drone spectacular show. Sorry.
Okay.
Those were important.
Well, that's important because then it ties into, is Disney yes. losing the theme park battle? You see all the other Disney parks. You see Paris doing it, doing the drone show. Looks amazing. You see these new hotels being built and are beautiful, these new parks being built, and yet Florida isn't any of it.
Yeah.
Paris is getting Arendelle. California is just getting this new Anaheim expansion project. Shanghai just got Zootopia opened up. Hong Kong that just got the other Arendelle. Who else got an Arendelle? Hong Kong just got their Arendelle. That's why I said Paris is getting Arendelle.
Zootopia.
Hong Kong just had an Arendelle open up in the last 6 months. Shanghai had Zootopia. California is getting the Anaheim expansion project. And
Shanghai is getting the Fantasy Springs.
Okay, so no. Tokyo's getting Fantasy Springs.
Sorry.
So you're seeing all of these new expansions across all of these different areas, and yet you're not touching Florida with that. And I find it
very weird because they have the land, they have the budget, and they've even said that they plan on doing a park expansion.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but they haven't.
But they've been talking about park expansions for years. But it comes down to Disney getting a fifth park.
So here's, like, I guess my little fan theory. I guess I'll say it is at the last D23 convention 2 years ago, mm-hmm. they had the Blue Sky Conference. Or panel, I guess it's mm-hmm. called. And for anybody that doesn't know, the Blue Sky panel is a bunch of Imagineers and the CEO and just stuff that were all sitting at a desk. And they're just giving out ideas of what they want to do and just talking about things that they want to do. Nothing is confirmed there. Nothing is saying it's in the works there. This is just them in a think box, and you get to watch how they come up with their ideas, mm-hmm. which it's a really cool premise. But at the last Blue Sky panel, they were talking about that, and they talked about a heritage area where in Magic Kingdom, off of behind Tiana's Bayou, mm-hmm. they talked about doing a heritage land with Encanto and Coco and kind of that.
Which I think is a terrible idea.
Mexican, Colombian, that kind of stuff.
Belongs in Epcot, but you Thank already you. Have Mexico.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying that's something they talked about. They also brought up the idea of a Zootopia land similar to Shanghai in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, and then they turn around and announce it's going to be more Moana.
Which is... Yeah, weird, very weird. But it's just like they brought all this stuff up at the Blue Sky. So my guess is because there's another D23 this year, I think we're going to get that announcement.
Well, sure.
They're going to tell us which expansion they're doing to the world. I think World's getting something. But well, as of right now, they're not.
I think World's going to get something, but I think the problem is Disney's only got so much money, and I think that they're announcing all this. Don't get me wrong. I think California needed the expansion. They need more park. They need more space in California.
More stuff to do.
But the funny part is with California is California's still on what I call a ratio. Two parks, three hotels. Yes, you sell out of your hotels, and that's why you have the Good Neighbor hotels, because you need the extra hotel space. But in reality, you don't really oversell your parks. Florida, with 30-some freaking options of hotels and
capacity,
how often are you hitting capacity? And great examples, look at it just recently. Spring break in Disney right now. People are showing videos. You are shoulder to shoulder with people walking in Epcot. That's not fun. I don't care if it's not hot yet or whatever. That's not fun. to have that many people crammed into that space. You're going to, I mean, they were showing wait times for rides over an hour that were like, three Caballeros had like a 45 minute to an hour wait for three Caballeros. That ride sucks. I love three Caballeros. Love the characters. Love the classic. But that ride sucks. If I waited an hour to ride that, I'd be fuming.
Yeah.
The fast passes were selling out in 30 minutes for the day. Like if Lightning.
I mean, that's nothing new.
But to buy the Lightning lanes, to pay for the extra Ratatouille and Frozen, they were sold out within 30 minutes of going live.
I hope you're shutting that down, not letting anybody buy it because.
Yeah. Well, no. That's exactly it. It shut down first thing in the morning. So I'm saying, If you weren't an early riser and you got into the Epcot at 9, like, oh, let me go on a Lightning Lane. I'll pay $20. Let's ride Frozen. Boom. It's already sold out. Like, you're fucked.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. And I ranted about this when we were in Disney for the Flower and Garden, how quickly their Lightning Lanes sell out. Why they can't mimic their virtual queue system. Only X amount in the morning and then X amount in the afternoon, but give people a chance.
Yeah.
But if they do another park, I just hope it doesn't come with more hotels is kind of where I'm at with that. You need a fifth park. You need
hotels in California, not in Florida.
Correct. Florida does not need another hotel unless you're knocking one down. If you're going to say that Port Orleans Riverside is too out of date and smash it, fine. But don't build a new hotel. Build a new park.
I agree.
Build a new park. Expand your Disney Springs. I don't care what you do. But people need places to go. You need a bigger place for people to go, not expanding the amount of hotels.
Right.
Because you are hitting capacity in your parks. You're shoulder to shoulder with people, and it's just not fun.
The other thing I was thinking is if they go to all this trouble to build Celestial Park and they make it just this massive, amazing thing for Universal, if Disney turns around and puts out a new park, it's going to be in direct competition with that, which I don't think they want, because if they build a new land, it's not going to compare with
Epic Universe.
Thank you. It's not going to compare with Epic Universe because Universal is a different thing.
But bear in mind, even if Iger got on TV today and said, we're building another park, you're at least 18 months to 2 years out. It's not like they're just going to pull a park out of their ass and build it in 5 minutes.
I guess.
So you're not going to be in direct competition with Epic Universe, because by the time they announce it and put everything in it and then launch it, you're 18 months out minimum.
I would love to see another park. I just don't think it's going to come in the next 2 years because of Epic Universe.
The only thing I will say is Disney forever has been that family friendly. I feel like if I'm at Universal, as an adult. It's not something I would necessarily take my 3-4-year-old too, because I mean I would take them, but it's like, what can they ride?
No, it's more adult, for teenagers. It's adult-themed parks.
So,
Disney will never lose is I'm adult themed. I can take my toddler and
sure. But see, that's the problem. That's where I think Disney does lose, because they are the kid themed. Everybody thinks Disney, they think kids. Let's face it, we're Disney adults and we love Disney on a level that most people don't. Like, we are, that's why it's nicknamed the Disney adults, because there is a grouping there. But if you have kids that are 13 to 15 years old and don't have a dire love for Disney, Universal is a better place to go.
Yeah.
More thrill rides, more adult-oriented entertainment. And when I say adult-oriented, I mean the older 13 to 15-year-old would enjoy the entertainment. You know, it's not explicit entertainment, but it's more to that style.
Disney should do their next park as more of a
thrill center.
That's exactly.
I mean, it's not
less of a theme park, more of an amusement park.
I don't know, because you lose people like me who don't like roller coasters.
Yeah, but you've got four other parks to go look at.
And I'm not saying the whole park needs to be a thrill ride.
No,
love Cedar Point, and it would, like, you don't like roller coasters
to walk around.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but don't forget, you're gonna have new dining and you're gonna have new shows. And let's face it, every park has some version. You know, Animal Kingdom is live action shows like the Nemo show or festival. Hollywood Studios, you have the Lightning McQueen show. You have the Frozen sing-along. Go to Magic Kingdom, you have PhilharMagic. You have Carousel of Progress. Park's going to have some kind of
entertainment
attraction
for everyone. And not all thrill rides are roller coasters. Gringotts and Harry Potter. That's a thrill ride. That's not a roller coaster.
That's pretty. That's pretty close to roller coaster. In fact, if I were to argue thrill ride, I would say if you're talking Universal.
Okay, what about Transformers or I was just going to say Spider-Man.
Transformers, Spider-Man, Simpsons. Those are thrill rides without being coasters. Yeah. Those are those. I mean, Universal really took on that simulator
Forbidden
ride
Journey.
And
that's
loved
a thrill
it.
Ride, not a roller coaster.
That okay.
That's a roller coaster.
I'd rather too. Give you Forbidden Journey okay. over Gringotts if you're making that argument.
Either way, not all thrill rides are roller coasters.
But I think you need more. But see, and the other thing is too.
And what about a Disney Ferris wheel like California has?
Or not.
We don't. No, you don't want that?
He was saying.
No, I was literally. And the other thing is too. And then how about a Disney Ferris wheel? Oh. What I was saying is this park needs to maybe not go all out on the coasters and do more of the boxed in simulator rides. And where that, where I mean this is, if you look at Epcot, for example. Epcot only has, what is it, 8 rides total in the park, actual rides, Ratatouille, Frozen, Three Caballeros, Mission Space, Spaceship Earth, Nemo, Soarin', Living with the Land, and Figment. Am I missing any?
Test Track, did you say?
Oh, and Test Track.
Did you say Frozen?
I said Frozen, yeah. So 10 rides total in the whole park.
Ratatouille?
Yep.
I said Ratatouille.
Okay. So 10 rides in the whole park. Magic Kingdom is over 20-something. If I really had to count it out. But what I mean is Magic Kingdom can split up the rides a little bit better because maybe it's an hour wait for Peter Pan and an hour wait for Jungle Cruise. But if you only had 8 to 10 rides in the park, that's going to be a 2-hour wait. So I hope whatever they build, they don't just build in 6 new rides. Oh, look at Animal Kingdom. Maybe that's a better example.
You know what else I would like to see is an outdoor roller coaster, like a Hulk or something, that would make for a really good picture spot.
See, that's why I'm advocating the opposite. I don't want them to build another coaster. Look at how much room Tron took up at Magic Kingdom. Yes, it was in the back and it wasn't against anything, so it worked. But look at how big that is.
So you want to see more simulator, like less,
I want to see more simulators.
Less space, more
I want to see more dark rides. I want to see. I mean, the Shanghai Zootopia dark ride is super cute, but it's not a big ride. But it's a continuous track, and it's an easy. Quick in and out. Magic Kingdom succeeds when you have Winnie the Pooh, when you have Peter Pan. Those are quick, easy dark rides. On, off, on, off. They need to build more of those.
Then we go again into the family children's theme. We're talking.
No, you can do simulators. You can do thrill rides. Look at Ratatouille. Ratatouille is less on the thrill scale, but more than a family like dark ride ride along. Ooh, look, Winnie the Pooh. Like you zip around, you go under things, you get the 3D effects. I want to see more of that, more Ratatouille.
So you want more of the, oh my gosh, the like Mickey Runaway Railway. You want more of the like.
Closer to Runaway Railway. Actually, if I really had to put a number on it, if I really had to pick a ride, I wouldn't even pick a Disney ride. I would pick Simpsons. That's what I want to see. Simpsons is like 12 cars that load up simultaneously. You scoot
forward.
That's the
least thrilling of the simulators.
It scoots forward and it's one big screen, but you can fit so many people on that ride and it churns yes. through people. You need a people churner because Tron, as great as it is, you're only putting 30 people on at a time between the three coasters.
That ride is so short.
Well, it is because you can only run so many people on the ride at a time. Look at Space Mountain. Same thing. You can only run so many cars at a time. It's all a timing thing. But if you could put a simulator ride that would churn through, you know, 15 people a car times 10 cars, you put 150 people on a ride at once. And that means 15 minutes, 5-minute ride time, 5-minute load on, 5-minute load off. You could churn around 4 rides an hour and you're working through 600 people. And that's a decent amount of line queue. That's what I want to see Disney do a little bit more of. A little bit better crowd management. Stop putting in rides like 7D that have a 2-hour wait because you can only run, you know, 3 cars of 7 people a car. Your line times are going to be outrageous.
Like you also see less breakdown with your simulators than you do like
a lot.
Than 7D.
Because if the hydraulics blow on one car, you just go down to 11 cars or 10 cars, but you still run the ride. If your track goes down on a coaster, the whole ride is shot until you get that fixed.
I would like to see one coaster, though, in if they build a new park.
I'm not saying eliminate them entirely.
No, I know, but I'm saying make one big outdoor coaster. Universal has Rip Ride Rocket, yep. And they have Hulk, which are and Velocicoaster, mm-hmm. which are all big outdoor thrill coasters. And Disney doesn't have any of those. Rock and Roller Coaster is a thrill coaster, but it doesn't have any hills. It's inside. And
yeah, you're looking for the picturesque skyline.
Yes.
See, but I don't think that's Disney's style.
It's not, but that's what we're talking about, though. They need to go out of their comfort zone a little bit. And
see, but in that regard, I would disagree with you only because it's the classic Disney park. Every park around the globe, no park has a skyline as a ride, except the only one I can think of is California Adventure with the Ferris wheel.
And, Big Thunder Mountain has a skyline. You can see the castle from the top.
No, I mean, like, if you think of the skyline of the park, you think castle, you think Tree of Life, you think Epcot Ball.
Yeah.
California Adventure, it's the Ferris wheel.
Technically, Epcot Ball's a ride, too.
Yeah, but it's indoors. You see the ball, you don't see the ride.
That's true.
What I'm getting at is Disney's kind of style is you don't see rides from the...
What you want to see in the ride.
You go to Six Flags. You go to you go to Cedar Six Flags. You go to Cedar Point. You go to Carowinds. But
here's also the thing. If you think Universal, what's the image that pops into your head? The Earth Ball.
Oh, not for me, but okay.
What's yours?
When I think Universal, I think Harry Potter. I go straight to the Hogwarts Castle. That's my thought.
But it's not the big coaster, even though the big coaster's there.
No, it's not. But then if you think Islands of Adventure, they purposely work the coasters into their skyline.
They do.
That you get that little pillar that says Islands of Adventure,
yeah.
But then right behind it is Rip Ride Rocket. Like the ride
I agree.
Built to their skyline.
I feel like your problem is, though, if you build an outdoor coaster, Florida rain is awful,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't solve your problem for a good portion of the year.
No, and that's the other issue. Universal's Hulk is down all the time because of wind and rain. So is Velocicoaster, and so is Rip Ride Rocket.
Oh, and Hagrid's Motorbike. I just thought of that.
And Hagrid's Motorbike.
I don't know. I think they should have one
big I'm not saying we coaster. Get rid of coasters. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying...
I want one. I want one big Disney coaster.
They're not going to give you a big outdoor coaster, though. They're going to put it in a building. Not to mention, too, there's so much more you could do. Like, look at California Adventure for the moment. Look at the Incredicoaster. That is an outdoor coaster. They built tunnels on the coaster so that way they can put the characters and do the projection and the light-up stuff.
Which is fine if you want to do that. But it's an outdoor, thrilling coaster.
It is. I love Incredicoaster.
I want something with speed and hills. Something that you'd get.
I mean, you're outdoor. Thunder Mountain is an outdoor coaster.
Yeah, but it's not big. But it's more big. Of what I want. That's what
and you have Slinky Dog, which is an outdoor thrill coaster.
That doesn't have any hills, though.
Yeah, yes, it's not. Slinky's not a thrill coaster. It's whatever. A coaster.
Disney is my safe place.
So okay? is 7D. That's so like they're Universal outdoor coasters. I'm talking a big one. I'm talking Kings Island.
Yeah, I got it. We're on it. You want a big coaster? We're there.
Right.
Keep going.
No, I just mean like it would expand into the next land. It would would expand the age difference, which is what Universal's beating them on.
Right. We're there. You want a coaster. So sliding off of that, though, this is one we've kind of speculated before, but what would a theming be on a fifth park in Magic Kingdom? Do they cookie cut another park?
Stop no.
cookie cutting.
Like, do they bring a Disney Seas?
Oh, never mind.
I'd like to see it, but they won't. I don't.
What do you think they do?
Can we take Tangled and explode it because you already have a bathroom?
I would like a Fantasy Springs similar to what they're doing in Tokyo, but I don't think they'll ever build a Tangled area because of the bathrooms. They would have to take the bathrooms out first.
No, they wouldn't. You've got Moana themed in three parks right now. You're going to build a whole Animal Kingdom land. You've got a whole Epcot land, and you still see Moana pop up in Magic Kingdom.
I guess.
Like... You don't have to take a bathroom out. I think a Fantasy Springs would be fun. That one would be interesting to see that come to.
Maybe.
And again, I am not an advocate for cookie cutting. Not at all. However.
Maybe do Fantasy Springs, but with different movies.
But with different movies. That could be fun, too. To be honest, I'd love to see.
We could call it Fantasy Forest.
Okay. I'd like to see a classic park. And when I say classic park, I don't mean Snow White, Cinderella. I mean our generation's classic.
Renaissance.
Yeah, I mean after 1990, but before 2010.
Which would
Or 2006.
Be
I'll use 2006 as my cutoff. That's 16 years.
That's
span.
Not even Tiana.
Right. I'm talking my generational.
Tiana's my generation.
For? So I'm looking for Aladdin. I'm looking for Hercules. I'm looking for Mulan.
Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid.
Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid. I'm looking for Emperor's New Groove.
Lion King.
I'm looking for Atlantis. I'm looking for Lion King. I'm looking for Treasure Planet.
Okay. Dinosaur.
You can, and 2003 was Nemo, so you could even fit a Nemo to that, but you have a decent amount in Animal Kingdom. But I'm saying
Toy Story.
There is a huge amount of classic. Our generational classic, because let's face it, Disney has the love of classic, but those that see Snow White as their classics are dying. They're getting old. They're not going to Disney as much. Our generation, though, sees that gap. You see all the classic, the old.
I think your generation appreciates Tiana and Tangled.
I'm not saying we don't, but I'm saying when you ask a kid my age, name your classics, name the ones you watched growing up. It's Little Mermaid. It's Lion King. It's Aladdin. It's Hercules. It's Mulan. It's Treasure Planet. It's Atlantis. I mean, Atlantis was such a cool movie when it came out because of all the high-tech robots and everything else. Emperor's New Groove. How underrated of a movie is Emperor's New Groove?
There's your coaster. We'll make the drop.
I'd be down for that.
And we're done.
Although they would do that inside. But I would do it.
You need to make something that's going to appeal for the next 50 years, not just what's going to appeal in the moment. Don't make a whole park over something new, like a Tiana, like a Tangled. Don't go too new, because yes, those kids are going to love it.
Tangled is like a decade old.
But you're going to wait 20 years before that becomes the classics to somebody to want to go. But you have a generational thing now that are going to become the new Disney adults who are just turning 30. You've got 40, 50 years of them traveling to Disney. Those are the classics they're going to want to see. You need a Disney Renaissance park.
I was a Frozen kid. And I'm an adult who goes to the parks, and I like the Frozen ride and the Frozen attractions because that was my childhood movie.
But you're not at that stage yet.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, there are people who would appreciate
I'm not saying you're not going to appreciate them, but I'm saying don't base a whole nother park on it.
I guess.
You have enough in the other parks between all your new stuff. Tiana's getting a whole new chunk in Magic Kingdom. Frozen has basically taken over Hollywood Studios.
And Epcot.
There's one ride in Epcot.
Okay, so it's
and a meet and greet. You've got a whole section, and it's taken over Norway.
Yeah.
Frozen has invaded Norway.
That's true.
And then, so you see a huge chunk there. You've got Moana taking over 2.5 parks right now.
Yeah.
Huge new thing in Epcot.
Coco's gonna be a huge. Take over Mexico.
I'm still waiting for them to redo Three Caballeros as a Coco ride. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. That's
coming.
It hasn't been announced yet, but it's coming one day. Over. Yeah. So you've got all the new things taken care of.
Hey, we have new friends on live. Julia Martin joined.
Hey, but you're also going to see that skip in that Renaissance era.
That's true. Get enough attention.
No, when you look at the Renaissance era, you have nothing Mulan anymore, except possibly Mushu that shows up as a meet and greet somewhere. Okay, you have almost nothing Little Mermaid anymore except the ride in Magic Kingdom. Because now they are bringing the show back, but they haven't yet. So right now, the only thing in any park that's Little Mermaid is the ride in Magic Kingdom. Aladdin, the only thing you get is the flying carpets. And let's be honest, that's barely a ride. It's literally Dumbo just reshaped. You have nothing Hercules. You get a rare character meet and greet, and that's it from Hercules. Your Lion King, you have Festival of the Lion King, and that's about the extent of your Lion King. You get very little Renaissance era movies. And that's what your generation now that's starting to have kids at 30 years old want to see. That's what their favorites were. That's what they're going to show their kids first. Now, when you have your kids, you're probably going to be, oh, this is Frozen. I loved this as a kid. To me, it's, oh, this is Aladdin. I loved this as a kid. That's where I think you need to go with this next park.
Amen.
Kat, what's your theory?
I don't know, because I still want my Dark World park.
Dude, I would literally fly to Florida and dig out, if I could, to help them build a Dark World park. I would die for a villain park. Would die for a villain park. But let's be real. We're never going
to
get a villain.
You know what else I think they need to do a better job with?
What?
Is integrating.
Integrating?
Integrating? I don't know. Adding.
Integrating.
Integrating. Thank you. Integrating the movies that fit into the Epcot countries better. I would like to see more Mulan in China. I would like to see,
and that's it.
I can't even.
Well, you could see Luca be more introduced in Italy.
Luca in Italy, thank you.
Mary Poppins in England, Alice in Wonderland in England.
There's a lot in England, and you see the meet and greets, but you don't see the character. I mean, they've got that secret meet and greet with Winnie the Pooh back there that they only use like 3 times a year.
Right.
I think they're just trying to be culturally, like.
I get it. You're being culturally respective in that. And that's kind of where it is. But let's face it, the countries are not the meh.
Again, it's appealing to your Disney adult.
The cultural aspect, I don't think, is there anymore.
But I also think if you added some more rides into the countries, there would be more.
But they don't have the room for rides. I am all for integrating stuff in the parks more in Epcot, but they don't have room for the rides. I mean, right now you see the backside of Tower of Terror when you're standing in Epcot. Those two parks really butt up against each other to put in a new building. I mean, look at Epcot. When they put in Guardians, they had to build that blue building, and now that's all you see when you go to Epcot in the parking lot is, oh, look at the big Guardians blue building. They don't have the room for the rides. But I would love to see more character meet and greets. I'd love to see more targeted merch.
I think they could make room for a couple more rides if they were small rides. They don't have to be huge, elaborate dark rides.
I'd rather see a new country.
Julia Martin says, ooh. Countries are filled with the shops, which I enjoy, but not room for rides to add.
Yeah, see, I would love some more targeted merch. I'd love some more meet and greets. Maybe some more interactive stuff, but not necessarily a full-blown ride, maybe.
Have you ever seen, I don't know if you've done the research, but have you seen Frozen's Playhouse in Hong Kong?
In a general sense. I mean, I looked at it when it was there, but...
We need one of those. I think that'd be so cool.
No more cookie cutter.
Yeah, no more cookie cutter.
Not Frozen, but imagine...
Oh, okay, but another version.
Imagine a Frozen's Playhouse themed to Mulan in China, replacing that stupid China 360 movie.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
How cool would that be? You could the walls. Hang on. For anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah, I see on the comments though that there's another one in there. Ron's in there. Hi, Ron. Sorry, go ahead. I want to say hi.
You're good. For anybody that doesn't know, Frozen's Playhouse, I think it's Anna and Elsa's Playhouse or whatever, is it sounds like it's for kids, but it's really not. It's for everybody. But it's a show sort of similar to Enchanted Tales with Belle, except they're not retelling their story. They have a whole other story that, like, Olaf is coming in and stuff, and they have a stage there where they talk to you, and there's an Olaf animatronic, but the walls are all projectors. So all, like, the room changes colors, and, like, when Elsa uses her snow magic, snow shoots out of the ceiling, and, like, ice fills the
room. Literally what you're describing sounds like the interactive Disney...
I was like, now that I think about it, I think Emily's shown me. So I'm like, was kind of.
I know you've seen it.
It's not a bad idea. I agree.
And it's like a 10-minute show that fits like 20 people at a time. So it would really go through pretty fast.
But okay. So let's take this back to point here, because I feel like we're now talking about Epcot's upgrades and we're not there. But taking it back full circle, Epic Universe is providing something that Disney just isn't able to compete with right now. And I think that is new. I think it's exciting. I think Disney Florida has gotten stale. And I love Disney to death. I'm not trying to bad Disney. I love Disney in so many ways. But you're getting a lot of love in these other parks, and people are sitting here going, oh, look at Shanghai with their new Zootopia. Look at Japan or Tokyo with this all new Frozen. I want to go to a Tangled restaurant. I want to go to the Snuggly Duckling. Like, and then
maybe that's,
you don't have it.
Maybe that's the point. Maybe it's on purpose because Florida is so flooded all of the time. Maybe they're trying to draw attention to their other parks.
They are drawing attention, but they know that you're not taking on a whim. You could take a family of five to Disney World, Florida, and be like, let's go to Florida. I'm going to take my kids this summer. Let's do it. And in 3 weeks, boom, I'm in Florida with my kids. You were not just going to drop everything and fly to Tokyo.
Like, for summer vacation, you could.
No.
But I'm saying you are not going to take your family of five and just be like, you know what? Let's go to Disney. We're going to Tokyo. You're not going to just drop everything and go to Tokyo in 3 weeks.
You could drop everything and go to California the same amount you could go to Florida.
Okay, that's so you're proving my point, though.
I know, but that's their point. If they stop focusing on the world so much, maybe they'll go to other parts. But see,
that's the point. That is their Flagstaff location. 30-some hotel options to choose from, 4 different parks to go to, most annual pass sales out of any of their parks. Disney World is their flagship property, and they know they get the attendance no matter what. True. I think it's getting ignored simply because they know they're going to get the money there no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think they need to beef up their others. And I agree. But I think Universal also saw that and said, this is our opportunity to come in and kick Florida's ass. And I think that's exactly what they're doing.
One thing that I thought was really impressive, important to point out, was that in the promotional video for Epic Universe, they said, and this new park will take Universal to a full week's worth of vacation fun,
mm-hmm.
which was a direct call out to Disney to yeah. the point that people stay at Disney for a week, but they stay at Universal for 2-3 days tops.
Yeah, Universal, you can get through their park in a day and a half, maybe, depending on how busy you are. So for both parks, 3 days, if you add Volcano Bay, maybe four. But it's never ticketed and sold as a week-long park. You add Epic Universe, absolutely, you're now coming up to a week.
They specifically said that as a quote in their,
yeah.
their videos. And I think that was a good point they brought up, that it's like, this is a huge park with a ton of crap to do. And I think that if you add that to the other parks, it's definitely going to push it to a week or more.
Well, and the other thing is, too, that I think Universal tends to get forgotten about. Universal does have hotels. They've got resorts.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, when you think Disney, you think of, oh, all the cool resorts. You don't necessarily think that with Universal. And, you know, for example, you know, Universal does provide free transit from their resorts over to their properties, too. You can take a boat down to their, what is their, oh, God, what's their downtown?
Oh, gosh.
Why am I totally blanking on this? What's their downtown area before you get into the parks?
It's Boardwalk or something like that?
Oh my God.
City Walk.
City Walk. Thank you. You can get a boat down to City Walk. You can get a busing over to City Walk, go through the gating, and you're right there at the parks. They drop you right in front, and you're right there, just like Disney does. They do their luggage storage just like Disney does. Yeah. And their rooms, like the new Ventura Hotel, that they or Aventura, when they opened that up two years ago now, totally technology-based rooms, tablets controlling lights, controlling blinds, controlling temperature. Like, you get all that tech and everything added into the rooms. They're nice, new, high-tech rooms.
Oh, and this new hotel that's coming with Epic Universe?
Mm-hmm.
It is insane, you guys. It is similar to the Grand Californian in Disneyland, where it's built kind of on the border of the park, and it will be added. It has its own private entrance into the park from the hotel.
Yeah. So there again, there's a benefit that you don't get in World on any of their hotels.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, too, they're doing a good job of upgrading. And I get it's a little harder because you have so many, but a lot of their rooms are outdated. A lot of their rooms, you can always give it a refresh by adding new paint or adding new flooring. But look at, like, in all the value resorts now, you have they're not Alexas, but they're like, hey, Mickey, you know, hey, Disney, and they give you the different stuff. Like, that's a fun little integration into the room. You look at the new contemporary rooms that they did with the smart controllers and stuff. They're getting there, but Disney's not there yet. And a lot of their hotels are done that way. The other thing is, too, when you look at Universal's hotels, they're not built like motels. They're built like hotels. And where I say that difference is, look at French Quarter. Look at Caribbean Beach. All your doors are on the outside of your rooms, 2 to 3 floors up, and that's it.
It'd be nice if they integrated TVs that were streamed instead of cable.
They do. They have them. They're putting them in. Like, the value resorts have them now. You can Chromecast directly to the TV in a Disney hotel. We were watching Hulu on ours when we were down there last weekend.
Okay, Chromecast, but, like, it should be on the TV.
It was on the TV.
Well, you set it on your phone. You just decide what app you want to do from your phone, and then it puts it on the TV. But you have to have it logged in on your phone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's literally like streaming it. You select what you...
Because we just used cable when we were there, because I didn't think you could.
Oh, no, you can't. Absolutely. You go on the TV, you have to enter a code to connect to the TV. And then once you're connected on your phone, just like you would with casting, you just hit cast to, and it'll say Disney TV XV, whatever the number is. And then you can watch it. When we were in California, we did Disney Plus on all our stuff. When we were there last weekend, we did Hulu. But yeah, no, you can stream now on the TVs. But those are the kind of things that people look for. When we were in California, I loved that feature because it had not made its way to Florida yet. And those are things you're going to see in the new Epic Universe hotels.
Yeah.
That you're not seeing, you're finally seeing that one. But a lot of the tech stuff, a lot of the new, not outdated stuff, you're seeing in Epic Universe. And I think that's the other piece Disney's going to get hit with.
And in the Universal Hotel, the first one, they have those themed rooms, too, that Disney's never done a themed room like that, I don't think.
Well, I mean,
on the inside.
To an extent, I think, like, the Minion rooms are unique because you slept in the rockets.
Yeah.
But, like, if you think of, like, Caribbean Beach and the pirate rooms, they did have the barrels in the room and the ships and everything else.
That's true.
But they've done themed rooms, but I agree with the bunk beds. I don't remember.
I don't know if anybody's ever been to Great Wolf Lodge, but, like, the bunk beds for the kids, those are tree houses.
Yeah.
Which something like that would be really cute.
Yeah, it would. That would be cute to see, too. And
something cool about those, the treehouse beds, is that they were kind of enclosed. They had like sliding barn door type doors on the mm-hmm. beds. So if the kids were asleep, you could close them and then watch the TV and the light wouldn't go in there.
The other thing is too, and this is a big difference because it's how they operate it. But with Disney, they have Lightning Lane. With Universal, they have the Fast Pass system.
Fast Lane
system. And if you stay at one of their deluxe resorts, you get the Fast Lane system for up to four people for free as part of your stay in your hotel. Disney doesn't do that either. And that's something that's huge because sometimes it's actually cheaper to buy a one night hotel stay in their deluxe resort than it is to just outright buy Fastlane for four people.
Yeah.
Like as a travel agent, I get clients all the time where I'm like, you're only going for the day. How much is it going to be? And then I will look up the hotels and be like, actually, we're going to book you for one night here at Portofino. Go stop over there real quick, check into your hotel so they'll give you the Fastlane. And it's actually going to save you $50 compared to just buying four Fastlanes in the park that day. That's another feature Universal does on their deluxe resorts that you never see Disney doing. They never give you a free Fastlane or free Genie Plus. And I think it's probably coming down the pike at some point. But right now, you never see stay at Contemporary, get free Disney Genie Plus. Stay at Polynesian, stay at any of our deluxes. Be a DVC hotel, get free Genie Plus.
I will say, I don't use Fastlane in Universal. I think it's definitely worth it if you can. I just don't because it's so expensive. But do they do Fastlane for the day or is it per ride?
So they do Fastlane. They have two versions of it. They have a one ride, like you buy Fastlane and then you get to ride every ride once, or they have an unlimited Fastlane where you can just keep going through.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure how that worked.
Yeah.
It's just so expensive. I don't do it.
Oh, it's insanely expensive.
It is definitely worth it, though.
Like, Disney is the cheaper model, which is the only reason people don't ever complain, because $25 a day versus, I mean, I got to look up what this year's price is. I
think it's
$70. No, God, no. It's more than that. I'm going to look up what their 2024. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it's not cheap by any stretch. I'm going to Google this. But
I thought it was $70.
Here we go. Bear with me here. No, I don't want to look at a vacation package. Good Lord. Okay, that was not the right tab. Oh, here we go. Express Pass. It's not Fastlane, it's Express Pass.
What's Fastlane?
Fastlane, I think that's Cedar Fairs.
Oh.
But I tend to forget.
Yeah, see, 79.
From $79.99 to $289 per person. So it ranges between $80 to $200, almost $300.
The last time I saw it, it was like $75, something like that. But this is saying $79.
So the Universal Express Unlimited Pass for just Universal Studios Florida, $109.99 a day. The Universal Express Pass for Universal Studios, which is the limited, is $80 a day. If you go to Islands of Adventure, it's $114 for the unlimited. If you do the regular, it's $85 for the limited. And then if you do Volcano Bay, it's $50 per person for the plus pass. And then the regular pass is $19.99, which is the virtual lines. So it's like kind of like Disney's version. The regular at Volcano Bay, it's
the Volcano Bay is different, though, because they use the wristbands.
Well, Volcano Bay is their water park.
Right.
I mean, it's like if you're going to Blizzard Beach. Yeah. But you're talking $109.99 a day per person. So a family of four, that starts to add up really fast, because especially if you have, because you also have to have a park ticket in there, too. So, I mean, the price of this just absolutely...
It's crazy.
...jumps through the roof. So... It'll be interesting to see what Disney does. It'll be interesting to see how they combat this or what they're going to do. Do they build a new park or do they come up with new features in their parks to kind of fight it? Because I feel like features a little bit more quickly, but it'll be interesting to see. And we're going to follow this closely. Epic Universe is not supposed to open until next year. It's announced, it's getting built, but it is not set to open until 2025. So don't get too excited and start booking Universal. Although, just like I am a fully certified Disney agent, RGT Travels is a fully certified Universal agent as well. So we can definitely get you set up with Universe, especially next year with Epic Universe coming out. We'll definitely get you set up with a Universal package and get that rolling out to you too. So bear that in mind. And along those notes, visit CastleToCastlePodcast.com. Catch all of our latest episodes. We did launch a new blog. We're going to start including blog posts, different Disney info, different opinion pieces. We're going to mix up a bunch of stuff in there. So definitely check that out. And we're going to post those on all our social media channels. And just like always, check us out on all our social media channels. We appreciate everybody hanging in with us on the TikTok live here. I think this is really fun. This is kind of coming a new thing, getting a little engagement. It's getting there slowly but surely.
I think we did better last time on the live because we were just at night, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but everything's going to have its bumps, but I think this is still successful. I think it was great. Make sure to like us and follow us if you're not already on TikTok so you get those live alerts. We also go live from the parks when we're down there, and definitely check out our YouTube channel. We've got two new videos up there, one about the Easter egg decorations in Grand Floridian. We also have the Flower and Garden Festival review in there, so check all of those out. And we are going to be going down June 1st. We're going to check out the new H2O glow events that are going to be happening. Ooh. And doing some of the backstage tours, the new one with the elephants at Animal Kingdom. So all kinds of new content coming down the pipe here in the next month or two. So definitely make sure you're following and subscribing us on all of our channels so you stay the latest with all the content that we've got. But otherwise, thank you for hanging out with us today. We really appreciate it. Kat, thanks for stepping in again. We always love it when we can get a guest star on here and kind of help guest host this with us. And I think we'll see you guys here next time.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Castle to Castle podcast. Make sure you check out our social media and visit us online at www.castletocastlepodcast.com. Be sure to tune in next time. And we will brighten your Disney day as usual.